This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel? And that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Thanks for being with us. Coming up this hour here on the show, interesting conversation that I just had with Mark Feinstein, MLB.com, which I'll reset coming up in about 15 minutes from now. I began the show talking about lamenting. I'm so disappointed that Trout versus Harper is not getting more national attention. As a baseball fan myself, I just think it's the coolest matchup that never happens. They've only met one other time in their careers because the Angels and Nationals don't ever play one another. But damn it, as much as I like Feinstein, he works for MLB.com, and this is the thinking that MLB has that has led them down this path, which is, as he said, Trout and Harper, they never really play, and that's what makes this special. And you can't force it because you don't know if one of them is going to be on the DL. Damn it, this is what the NBA did to build a colossus. They said, LeBron, you're on Christmas every year. Steph, you're on Christmas every year. Okay? When Kevin Durant plays another superstar, it's on TNT on a Thursday night. Or it's on ESPN on a Friday night. And we're going to promote the hell out of it. They don't go, well, we'll just kind of let it happen. And if it happens on a Tuesday on regional networks, that's when it happens. Because you can't really force this stuff. And Feinstein made a good point. He goes, look, in basketball, you're playing against one another. It's a duel. You're going to be on the floor against one another. So they're always there to market. That's true. But the thinking of baseball of you can't force it. It's better if it happens organically. And the biggest thing they can do is perform in October is fine, except sometimes you got to force it. It's a crowded marketplace. Harper Trout is on Fox Sports LA. And is on MASN, Masson in the Metro DC area, at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night. Well, who's going to watch? We'll get to more of that coming up here. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. So the story is that Carmelo Anthony may have already asked to be traded to the Houston Rockets, and now it's just semantics of when he's going to get traded to the Rockets. That according to reports now. He is uninterested in returning to the New York Knicks and has said, get me to Houston. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, he has made it clear to the Knicks, I want to go to Houston. I am not interested in talking to you about being reincorporated back into the New York roster. End of quote. The Knicks, at this point in time, it is just crazy to me that they have tried to pull back on trading Carmelo. I realize they have a new general manager now after hiring Scott Perry. I understand they probably want to undo all of the nonsense that was last night, or I should say, the last year plus with Phil Jackson. But you can't reincorporate Carmelo Anthony. What has been made very clear, abundantly clear, is that Carmelo was only looking to outlast Phil. That's it. That's it. He was out looking to outlast Phil. Once he did that, he said, okay, now you can trade me. And this is another strike against the Cavaliers because the Cavs, I'm sure, would like Carmelo, but the Rockets have surged into the lead for Carmelo. Now, I think that the Rockets, this doesn't make them a contender, doesn't make them a championship contender, doesn't make them better than the Warriors or even as good as the Warriors or even maybe a step below the Warriors. I think it makes them two steps below the Warriors because Golden State still plays defense at a very high level. And this Rockets team will not. Not with James Harden and Carmelo Anthony as two of your most important pieces. But it makes them a prolific scoring team, no doubt. And three prolific scorers with the addition of Chris Paul this offseason. So I understand, you know, the Rockets are spinning the wheel. Daryl Morey wants to grab more elite talent. Carmelo certainly is an elite talent. Okay. But the Knicks have gone down this road so far. Phil has driven a wedge between Carmelo and the organization. And they get this close to being able to restart the whole process and build with the young guys, and then they pull back the last second. Now, maybe their new GM, Perry, is simply looking to take some time to breathe on this, sleep on this, and see if it's the best deal out there. But the issue is you got to get Carmelo to agree to a deal. You can't just trade him anywhere. If the Phoenix Suns have a better deal for Carmelo Anthony, you can't just trade him to the Suns. He's got to agree to the deal. If you've got the Sacramento Kings that have a better deal for Carmelo, you can't trade him there. He won't waive his no-trade clause to go to Sacramento. He wants to go to play with either his buddy in Cleveland with LeBron, or he wants to go to Houston to play with his buddy Chris Paul and a team that I'm sure he feels, hey, you know what? Pretty good. I'll be in the playoffs. I just need to be kind of a scorer. They don't play any defense. That'll be great. Feels like a real stress-free existence in H-Town. I think that's why Carmelo wants to go there. Fits him perfectly. Now, I don't know why it's going to get along now between him and Mike D'Antoni after it did it in New York, but maybe bygones are bygones. Carmelo says, I get to play with one of my buddies. They got a good team, playoffs, and I just have to be a scorer and really the second or third scorer, and I don't have to play defense. Works for me. But for the Knicks, best case scenario for this season is that you give Porzingis the rock and he becomes a star. He is the centerpiece. And that Neal Akina also becomes a great young point guard you just drafted out of France. And Hernan Gomez becomes a really good young piece as well. And you bottom out and get a top three pick and get to add another piece of the puzzle because you finally now have your draft picks back. You don't need Carmelo there for that. You'll sell out the Garden anyway. You don't need Carmelo to be around, to bottom out, to tank. No bonus there for you there. High draft pick. Live it, love it, and that's it. So why pull back now? Why pull back now? Why pull back now? Doesn't make any sense. But when have the Knicks made sense? Feels like this is inevitable. Don't know what the Knicks will get back in return. But what's also funny is that when you see this, you realize all that needed to be done was to play nice with Carmelo. And Phil couldn't do that. And that will end up being Phil's biggest mistake. Phil's ego didn't allow him to play nice with Carmelo. Phil knew in his mind what needed to be done. Phil is blunt. Phil doesn't play nice and patty cake. And so Phil was going to drive Carmelo out of town, embarrassing him so much that he'd had to waive his no trade clause. And Carmelo said, not going to do it. Not interested in doing it. And then the moment that Phil left, he said, All right, I'll do it. All right. Okay. I'm out of here. I'm good now. All it took was being slightly professional with him. Instead of bullying him, instead of being tough on him through the media, instead of trying to embarrass him into doing something, that wasn't going to work. And why Phil ever thought that would, man, bring him in. Let him be a colleague. Let him help in this situation. Don't push yourself into different corners. And why Phil ever thought that would work is just crazy to me. Just absolutely crazy. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. A note on the Yankees deal from yesterday. As the Yanks add Todd Frazier as potentially their first or third baseman, and then Canely and Robertson in their bullpen. I kind of wonder why the Yankees needed to make any deal. I realize that they have a real hole at first base, and they've had injuries that have happened time and time again this season, been basically a rotating carousel. I realize that Chase Headley at third base has not been the good answer either. And I understand that injuries to the bullpen and lack of production there and a usually backbone strong piece of your roster being the bullpen has been a weak point with Betances and Chapman and others. But if you're the Yankees, you can't get too caught up in this being your supposed championship year. I mean, look, it would be great for the Yankees if they did win a World Series, but what Brian Cashman has done is build a roster that can compete for the long haul. That's what's great about this Yankees team, is that they're not a group of guys that are overpriced, overvalued, end of their career veterans. Outside of Jacoby Ellsbury, they don't have any more terrible contracts. The core four is gone. They're all retired. A-Rod got bought out. There's no Randy Johnsons and Jason Giambis and Hideki Irabus, even Matsui. All those guys, they're gone. The only guy that's now in that conversation is Jacoby Ellsbury. You have a young roster that keeps getting better. And you make a deal which is for the short term right now. I realize you have Canely now for a couple of years. But you trade away three prospects, and Blake Rutherford was the 30th rated prospect, is the 30th rated prospect in all baseball, along with a couple of other guys, Tito Polo and Ian Clarkin. Now, who knows? Prospects are just potential, and who knows if they ever pan out to anything. But the Yankees have to be careful not to get caught in the pressure of the media or the fans in New York to have to do something, because they don't have to do anything. They've got all these great young players that they have under their control for the next couple of years. And then, of course, being the Yankees that they are, they can still spend money and re-sign all these guys. Don't feel like you've got to go in this year. It's been a great season in the first half, well, really the first couple of months. Then they had a huge slide. And now maybe all they are a fringe wildcard team. But this year doesn't have to be anything. So a part of me says, why trade away prospects to try to be better this year? This year ultimately doesn't matter in the long-term growth of the New York Yankees. If trading away prospects wins you the division, but a first-round exit in the division series instead of missing the wild card, to me that's not a good investment for them. When we come back, the Harper-Trout debate. Me and Feinstein went back and forth from MLB.com in this last hour. I want to reset this because I opened up the show talking about it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
The icing is in every bite, so it dances with the chocolate cake of it.
Dances.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Just dancing here on the DA show. Happy Wednesday to you, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Every single day, there are a multitude of ways you can listen to the show, specifically on the web stream. If your normal listening area you're outside of, or maybe if your local affiliate doesn't carry us, that's okay, because you can take us with you on your phone, which is great. In fact, My goddaughter Savannah is listening right now via the Bluetooth. She's got her dad, B-Dub, streaming this bad boy in the TuneIn app. And then they got it running through her birthday present, which I brought her yesterday, an R2-D2 Bluetooth speaker. So that's what's great. It's all running through the phone. So you can stream us on the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, CBS Sports app, or even Apple Music. And I love the Apple Music stream because it's always smooth. It's always great. Rarely, if ever, is choppy. It's tremendous. If you have Apple Music, just type in CBS Sports Radio, and you got it right there. And it's free, which is awesome. The entire network. So you can always listen to us that way live every single day right here on CBS Sports Radio. So we had Mark Feinstein on from MLB.com last hour, and I was just disappointed that baseball doesn't take advantage of Trout versus Harper. Instead, it's a midweek series that is on regional cable. And I brought that up to Feinstein. Here was our back and forth on that.
You can't, you know, sort of maneuver the schedule based on two players. What if you do that and then one of them's on the, you know, Trout was out for 6.5 weeks. What if that Nationals Angels series, you've done all this manipulation of the schedule to put those two on national TV together and then Trout's out for, on the DL when it happens. So I just think you have to let these things happen organically. I actually think the fact that they don't play each other often makes it even better when they do. You know, because it's not a rivalry. It's not a, you know, the Angels and Nationals have nothing to do with each other. They're in different leagues. They're in different coasts. There's just nothing there besides those two guys. And I just think you have to just let it happen organically.
Yeah, but they let it happen organically, and it happened on a Tuesday night in the middle of the night on regional TV. I mean, that's just not the same. That's just not the way you're going to get an audience that's 12 years old in Tampa or New York to be able to watch those two guys play, you know?
Well, I will say, as a father of a 12-year-old boy, I'm not sure he's watching if it's on a, you know, Friday night or you know, at 7 o'clock either. Or either way, I just don't think, you know, again, what if you had done this to do it and Trout was on the DL and then you say, well, they would have been playing on Saturday on Fox, but, you know, Trout hurt his thumb and he's out. So I don't think you can try to take those measures to set those things up where you can look ahead at a schedule and say, look at those three games. You're going to have these two guys going against each other. It's just really hard to do that with baseball.
I really like Mark Feinstein from MLB.com. I think he does a great job. But this is where I almost always deviate from the baseball media. These are not good reasons. These just are not good reasons. Don't do it because Mike Trout could be on the DL. Well, why does the NBA schedule all of their superstars and all of their super teams to play on Christmas? All of them could be on the DL as well. Do we just say, forget it. Let's have Pacers Magic on Christmas. No. They say, let's give ourselves the best opportunity to have stars playing when people are watching. They don't schedule LeBron versus Steph on a Tuesday night on regional TV. My mind is going to like just rot into itself because this is the thinking that I think is so flawed. It's better because it doesn't happen often. I mean, come on. It's better because it doesn't happen often. Mike Trout and Bryce Harper are the LeBron and Steph Curry of baseball. One plays on the West Coast, one plays on the East Coast. Now, they're not playing in the World Series every year. I totally agree. And you can't force the Nationals or the Angels to play in the World Series three straight years. But they are arguably the two most marketable stars in baseball. And don't get me wrong, there's other really great stars. But these are arguably the two most marketable. Mike Trout's the best player in baseball, and Bryce Harper has the most attitude in baseball. It's better because it doesn't happen a lot. So should we only have the Warriors and Cavaliers play once every 3 years of the regular season? Number two. I'm not sure a 12-year-old would be watching anyway. Not a good reason!
That's the whole point here, is that 12-year-olds aren't watching. So how do you make them watch? You don't put it on in the middle of the night on regional TV on a Tuesday. You make that the Fox game of the week on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And we can't jerry-rig the schedule. Why? Why can't we? The Mets and the Yankees, the White Sox and the Cubs, the Dodgers and the Angels, if you've got your big interleague series, they jerry-rigged this. They've done it for 20 years. They've made sure. Does ESPN and baseball not work together for when the Red Sox and Yankees play? Of course they do. When there's a big series that they know can draw attention, they put them on the weekends in important parts of the season. We jerry-rig the schedule all the time. Why couldn't we do that for Nationals and Angels? Now that we have interleague every week of the season, every game of the season is interleague. So you absolutely can do it. These are not good reasons not to do it. If you believe this will draw attention, if you believe, look, it's already happening. This is what is so frustrating. It's already happening because baseball does this and has done it for years with the Yankees and Red Sox. Yankees and Red Sox have been shoved down our throats for years. In the National League, you might say it was Cubs and Cardinals. But Cubs and Cardinals or Yankees and Red Sox are on Sunday Night Baseball how often? Why isn't Trout and Harper on Sunday Night Baseball? This doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. Why? Trout and Harper have only played one series of their entire career against one another. So it's happened every 3 years. And this year it happened on a Tuesday night in L.A., which wasn't even picked up by Fox, FS1, or ESPN. Is anybody else seeing that this is the problem? And yes, I'm hitting my microphone as I talk so you could envision me flailing my arms around right now. This is the problem with the thinking here. This is the best thing you could market in baseball. The best. Because you're trying to sell individuals and personalities. It's going to be hard for any kid in Cincinnati or any kid in Lexington, Kentucky, or any kid in Tucson to care about Mike Trout because they don't care about the Angels. It's going to be hard to get a kid in the Twin Cities to care about Bryce Harper because he doesn't care about the Nationals. But you can get them to care about the personalities. And so Bryce Harper on social media, love him or hate him, he's interesting. Mike Trout, he's clean cut. He's a great teammate. He is everything you'd want a professional athlete to be, to say, grow up to be like Mike Trout. Oh, and by the way, he's one of the most exciting players in baseball. He's amazing defensively. He's great at the base paths. He hits for average. He hits for power. He does everything. You have two big market, different coast guys. You have them playing against one another on a Tuesday night on regional cable that most of the country can't watch unless they're watching singular at-bats on the MLB Network. In the middle of the night, by the way, for most of the country. And you wonder why baseball is having a tough time with a younger generation. Like, come on. This is not nuclear science here. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the stories that didn't make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio, as I mash my microphone back and forth as I flail my arms.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
Classic Mike Singletary.
We are the Raisins. Did he just call us the Raisins? We are the Raisins.
Like, oh, man, this all bad, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We here on the DA show are the Raisins, like we are the Titans. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. can always tweet at me, DA on CBS, Requiem for Oblivion tweets, DA easy, chillax. I don't think Trout and Harper themselves even care this much. No, you're right. My problem is just with broken thinking. And baseball faces, I don't want to call it a crisis because locally they're healthy, but as I've talked about, you can watch this sea change happening. Football has been the behemoth for a while now. For a good 20 years, football has dominated everything. But certainly for the last 10 to 15, football has surged into a place that was unfathomable just a couple of years before that, where it just is the dominant piece of the sports puzzle. And I'm more in tune with this than maybe most people are because I, on a daily basis, having to create my own algorithms based on what people care about nationally. Now, if I was doing a local show like I did in Boston or in Kansas City or in Miami, I'd be focused on little things, smaller things that mattered to a smaller area, the more minutia of it. A lineup change here, a broken play there, a managerial decision here. But on a grander national scale, I can zoom out. And I know when I piece together this show on a daily basis, what resonates. Because I know the ratings of all the national TV broadcasts, so I know what people are watching nationally. I also know what's resonating on Twitter, on social media, on Facebook. I know what the phones are going to resonate with. I know what the callers will resonate with because I've been doing this now long enough. And what I know is that baseball is in a position of weakness. Football has been the position of strength for a while now, and basketball has now surged to fill the rest of the void around football, and in some ways surpassed football a little bit because the football offseason isn't nearly as interesting as the basketball offseason. In the middle of baseball season, people are talking more basketball than they are baseball, at least on a national level. And so here you have a very obvious way to take advantage of two of baseball's greatest stars. And baseball's thinking is probably in line with Mark Feinsand from MLB.com, who we had on the show last hour, which was don't force it. Let it happen organically. If you force it, something bad could happen, like a guy could be on the DL anyway. And only hardcore baseball fans or fans of either the Angels or Nationals will watch anyway, so why go through that much problems for it? It's not like basketball, where the guys aren't on the floor all the time, so don't treat it like that. And I just think that that old way of thinking is never going to shake up what's already put in place. And I don't know, man, maybe it's just simply the way that I view my show and how I view this program. But if all I did was every day go, hey, don't try to do too much. Let's just do the way that it's always been. And hardcore fans will listen. But you know what? We're not trying to reinvent the wheel here. I couldn't live like that. I couldn't do this show like that. I don't think you ever resonate in a large area or space. You don't ever cross over into anything like that. And this is the thinking that baseball's probably lulled into because, well, local television ratings are good enough. Local revenue's good enough. And attendance locally is good enough. So why worry too much about the national viewpoint on things? And I go, okay, that's fine. You could be healthy in your own little silos, but why would you not want to bring Trout Harper to the biggest audience? Because it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing matchup. It's two amazing players. It's time now for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, as always. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, and free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Our question of the day is brought to us by O'Reilly and comes to us from Brian, who tweets in, DA, who's more dysfunctional, Dan Snyder or James Dolan? I think it's James Dolan, but not by much. I mean, this is 1 and 1A. James Dolan, to me, is more dysfunctional because he has never had to pay the price of poor attendance. So there's been no reason to think that he's not successful in his thinking. Madison Square Garden is enough of a draw. It's a big enough city, millions upon millions of people, to where as long as you get 20,000 people in the building every night, what do you care? It's a passionate, passionate city for basketball and the only game in town because the Brooklyn Nets are relatively new and they stink. So in terms of the five boroughs that didn't care about the New Jersey Nets, you've been the only game in town forever. And you've got huge revenue. You're a big business. You always sell the tickets. And so you have no, outside of wins and losses, you don't know that you're an embarrassment because you're making money. Dan Snyder has dealt with a lot of empty seats. They've had to make FedEx Field 20% smaller. They had to take out seats of the upper deck. They had to rejigger that whole upper deck situation. They have a lot of empty seats out there. It's not hard to get a Skins ticket at all. For the most part, you know, the Knicks never have to deal with that type of thing. Washington has. So I think Snyder has dealt with the humility of it more, even though he's a disaster as well. So I guess by a nose, I would say James Dolan. I also haven't seen Dan Snyder pick a fight with a legend of the organization and call him a drunk like they did with Oakley. Maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't seen Dan Snyder like have some type of spat with John Riggins or Joe Theismann or Doug Williams and call that guy an alcoholic and, you know, try to drag him through the mud publicly. But I could be wrong. I could be missing something on Dan Snyder's resume. Wouldn't surprise me if it happened. Let's get to your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut this morning.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
How about Seattle Mariners prospect DJ Peterson? Okay. Peterson puts Mark Lowe's Instagram post on Twitter. And so that's how we know that pitcher in the Mariners organization, Mark Lowe, took an Uber from Phoenix to Albuquerque to make a game. Now, I've done this before. I've flown to Albuquerque and driven across to Arizona, actually to the Grand Canyon, not quite Phoenix. But it's a hell of a long drive. And to have somebody driving you already, it's going to be kind of expensive. Want to guess on how much it costs to drive in an Uber from Phoenix to Albuquerque to make a game? How about it's $683? That's not bad, especially for a guy that's in the minor leagues making not exactly major league money. So Mark Lowe wrote on Instagram, I tried to beat having to wake up at 3 a.m. to make a flight with the game the same night. I crossed my fingers when I booked an American Air ticket to begin with. As always, they completely let me down again, so I only had to take an Uber from Phoenix to Albuquerque in the middle of the night. It took us 7 hours to get there. Imagine driving 7 hours in an Uber for $683. At that point, you got to give the guy 5 stars. You have to give the guy 5 stars. That didn't make the cut line.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Last night at Citi Field in New York, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie actually reached from his seat and caught a foul ball that had bounced once on the cement and then bounced over off the net and to Christie, who was sitting right alongside basically the front row behind the plate. As he celebrated his catch with a round of high fives with his lackeys, the broadcast showed it and then went to the Jumbotron and he got roundly, aggressively booed. So it's amazing. Here's a guy at a baseball game. All he does is catch a pop-up or catch a foul ball, and he just gets disgustingly booed by everybody in the stadium. This is also a man that has a 14% approval rating in his home state of New Jersey and is bothering people, upsetting people on a daily basis by filling in as a talk show host. So you might imagine why when you see Chris Christie not only closing your bridges and closing your beaches and having driven the state into financial ruin, and you are delayed every day on your train or trying to get into work, and then you see him front row to baseball game catch a foul ball, and then also call everybody that disagrees with him a communist on the radio, that's kind of why he got booed last night at the game, which is just too perfect.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Steelers running back James Conner was only the 105th player taken in this year's NFL draft, but he's got the number one rookie jerseys. In fact, right now, he has sold the third highest amount of jerseys this summer. Number one, Tom Brady. Number two, Dak Prescott. Number three, James Conner, which is amazing. Connor's number 30 Steelers jersey is flying off the shelves. Why? Because he played his college ball at Pitt, and so you've got a hometown kid playing for the Steelers. Steelers fans are crazy in general, so they're going to buy up the new jerseys as soon as possible. One of the great fan bases in the nation. But also, James Conner overcame cancer. So he's got the inspirational story, playing for the hometown team, for a fan base that buys up jerseys, gobbles them up like Mraz and chocolate sundaes. So James Conner, the third best seller right now amongst all NFL player jerseys in the summer.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Let's get your epic fail, boys and girls. It was our dummership story this morning that the number two general in the U.S. military warned yesterday, we can't let these killer robots turn their killing on us. And anytime that a general says we've got to worry about the killer robots, I think it's fair to say it's an epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
When I saw this headline, I wanted to drop my phone and run for the hills and duck inside some type of bunker. Quote, U.S. general warns of out-of-control killer robots. Ah! That is basically the stuff of nightmares. Out-of-control killer robots?
What plans? What are you talking about?
The U.S.'s second highest-ranking military officer is General Paul Selva. And yesterday he was advocating for keeping the ethical rules of war in place.
These robots are USR property.
Not me. These things are just lights and clockwork.
We've got robots making decisions in the art of battle. Who to kill, who not to kill, who to target, who not to target.
What are your prime directives?
Serve the public trust, protect the innocent, uphold the law.
You know, there's all this AI, artificial intelligence, not Allen Iverson.
We talking about practice.
That's embedded, installed, and not like how you would think a natural robot, like a T2 robot with arms and legs and a head.
And if you want to shine them on, it's hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista, baby.
But artificial intelligence, like attached to a laser cannon.
You'll notice that all of the sharks have laser beams attached to their heads. I figure every creature deserves a warm meal.
And he says we need to avoid having the robots make all the decisions unless we would, quote, unleash on humanity a set of robots that we don't know how to control. I mean, this is the stuff of nightmares. Forget clowns. U.S. general warns of out-of-control killer robots. That I don't need to read ever again. I mean, because then screw it. I'm just hiding in a bunker. I'm just eating astronaut ice cream for the rest of my days, just watching old DVDs of the 86 Mets over and over and over again.
Little roller up along first, behind the bag.
Epic fail, you loser.
That
is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Excellent work on the epic fail by Andrew Kaplan back in the studios. Excellente and Pete the Body Bellotti. I love it. Yeah, killer robots. Fantastic. My normal nightmare is missing the show. Because in radio or in media, obviously, TV, radio, you've got to be on the air. They don't wait for you. So I have a constant anxiety dream of missing the show. I'm late. I can't get to work. I can't find the studio. My microphone's not working. This is my normal anxiety dream. For the last, let's say, 20 years working in this business, that's been my anxiety dream. Tonight, it will be killer robots turning on ourselves. I will think about all the bad Johnny Fives in Short Circuit, and I will cry myself to sleep tonight. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the wheels of steel this morning. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan. Cap doing a great job as well as associate producer today. And thanks everybody here at Entercom in Kansas City and 610 Sports Radio for hosting me today. I'm back again tomorrow. Can't wait to come back. Very, very cool. I'm heading out to Royals and Tigers tonight at Kauffman Stadium. I'll let you know how it goes tonight and tomorrow morning. Be good. Be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.